You don't appreciate the joy of simply bending at the knees until you can't. Same goes for doing a little hip shake or swinging a golf club. At O'Connor Hospital, we get it. And as the Valley's first hospital to earn the Joint Commission's Center of Excellence for Hip and Knee Replacement, we're devoted to Twistology, which is our word for getting our patients back to taking the stairs, lifting grandkids, and celebrating birdies. O'Connor Hospital, your community hospital. OCH.SCCGov.org.
This guy will be on, I think, level four, high above the field at Camp Randall in Madison. Jimmy Brandstatter, the voice of Michigan football, is standing by live on the Metro Health, University of Michigan Health guest line. Welcome back, Jimmy.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Huge. How's everything going?
I don't know. It's going pretty good. Lions are one of 10 undefeated teams in the NFL, and Michigan's 2-0 at 11, playing number 13 Wisconsin on Saturday.
Life is wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Lions easily are like two plays away from being 0-2, and there's Armageddon across this state. I know they're 1-0-1, but the stress level on what it's taken its toll on me in the first two games has me feeling like 0-2.
Well, the game against San Diego is, like I finally said about midway through the fourth quarter, neither team wants to win this game. It just was, it was frustrating, wasn't it?
They got the W. They're 1-0-1. We can complain, slice it, dice it, right?
No, you're right. In the NFL, that's all that matters. They don't draw pictures. It's about wins and losses. But boy, in the middle of it, weren't you just...
It was. I said...
You're pulling your teeth out.
No, I said I was popping Advil like they were sour Skittles.
Yeah. I can understand that. I can see that easily.
I'm telling you, the Lions... There is only one type of headache I get, and it's connected to Lions games. It's the most frustrating. That's been going on for 20 years. I'm not lying.
No, I don't disagree. I've been there. I've been in the same frustration as you have. And I'm now not involved in it as a broadcaster, so when you're kind of removed and you're watching it from the outside, boy, you really remember the frustration of sitting in your seat at home and this team getting you out of that seat, you know, and saying, what are you doing? It just, and the only thing is that, like you said, at the end of the day, you sit back and say, hey, they're 1-0-1, hopefully they can improve and get better.
You know, there's some parallels in when you look at Michigan's start and the expectations for the Lions that, yeah, they didn't play well for the most part, but Michigan's 2-0 and ranked number 11 in America, and the Lions are 1-0-1, yet there's still some doubt and cynicism when it comes to both teams.
Yep. I think Michigan's got a little bit different situation because I think the expectations for them was so much higher. I don't think anybody expected the Lions, for instance, to go to the Super Bowl. And yet I think Michigan, a lot of people felt maybe this is a great chance to get to that Final Four. And so maybe the disappointment in the fact that they haven't come out of the gate really roaring has been a little bit more disappointing. But, the Lions, the way that game one against Arizona ended was, it was just, the game they had won. And to let it get away, and then again winning against San Diego, but doing it in such a way that you were going, God, it could have been a whole lot easier. I think the frustration, probably because of the expectation for Michigan, was a little bit higher.
Expectations for this team that you're talking about really begin, nothing against Army, a solid team, or Middle Tennessee State, but during the offseason, everybody was pointing to September 21st at Wisconsin, the gauge game on where this Michigan team is going this year.
I don't see any difference. I think it's the same thing because Wisconsin comes in and nobody scored on them yet. They've got a Heisman Trophy candidate, a probably odds-on favorite Heisman Trophy candidate in the backfield. You're playing in Madison. So if you want to talk about this one being a pretty important game, yeah, I would say that's the facts. And it is. It's a vitally important game for this team to set up their season if they want to win the Big Ten Championship. It's not catastrophic if they don't win, but clearly it's a big dent in their ongoing kind of hopes of possibly getting to a you know, having this team be really special.
Michigan matches up a conventional offense, as Don Brown talked about earlier this week, Jimmy. This is the right matchup for this Don Brown defense.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's a two-back downhill type thing. The thing that you know they do is they're at home, and the adds is their defense. Wisconsin's defense is so strong. Their offense is one of those that I think matches up real well with Michigan. Michigan is built to play this type of team, if you will. They can play a spread unit too, but they should be able to do it against these guys. They're big enough up front that they can handle the big offensive line and force Wisconsin maybe into doing something they don't like to do, which is throw the ball around a lot. The only thing that worries me about that is if you look at their skilled people, Wisconsin, they've got a kid named Cephas who can fly, Taylor, and another young receiver. They're really very, very good, and they can make big plays. If you're out there man-on-man with them, they give you the old, fake run, and all of a sudden now you got a guy running around deep in your backfield in one-on-one coverage. And if Cone can get him the ball, he's going to be pretty good. The other guy's name is Pryor. Cephas, and they're pretty good.
Jim Brandstetter, voice of Michigan football, joining us talking about Wolverines at the Badgers Saturday at noon on Fox. Why do you like Michigan to get on that charter plane in Wisconsin and come home with the win, and what brings hesitation to saying Michigan gets that W?
Well, I like them because I think that they've still got something to prove. I think they still feel as a group, as a team, we have not done what we haven't played to our capabilities yet. Let's go into Wisconsin and do that. I mean, I think there's a little bit more of a I don't want to call it a chip on their shoulder, but a little bit more of a motivation to say, hey guys, you know, we got to get better, we got to play better, and I think that helps them. That attitude going into a game like this, it really helps them. I mean, you're Wisconsin and you're coming off two shutout victories that were easy, and they haven't played four quarters, and Michigan has in two games. So that gives me confidence, and the only thing that I think that makes me a little bit wondering, to answer the second part of your question, is the offense. Is the offense going to ultimately explode and be what we thought it was going to be? So far it hasn't shown that. But we know that they've got the skill to do it, and now as a matter of time, it's time to show it. And until you do, you still have to wonder whether it's gonna, you know, explode like it was supposed to.
His name is Jim Brandstetter, voice of Wolverine football, joining us. Where's this team going? I know it's not catastrophic if they lose. A lot of people actually have said 10-2, 11-1. They included a loss at Wisconsin, better chance of winning at Penn State. Through two games, Jim, sitting there with Deardorff and Doug Karsh and Jansen and the crew, what have you liked about this football team, and what has to be better Saturday, beginning with a schedule that has some big boys on it?
Well, I really like the defense again. I think that, you know, everybody, the big question was, can you replace Gary? Can you replace Winovich and Devin Bush? And I think overall, if you look at this team defensively, I think that they have been strong. Those losses to the NFL did not hurt them as much as I think people might have thought. And then the distressing thing, or not distressing, but the thing that you want to see come around quicker, it's been slow to develop, has been that offense. And you can't turn the ball over. I mean, those are correctable things. And then hopefully in practice and all these other things, the emphasis has been, you know, we cannot turn the ball over. We can't do negative plays. We've got to be more explosive offensively. And I would like to see them show us this, speed in space thing that we thought was going to happen since the spring.
Any prediction? I know you're not a big prediction man.
Nope, I'm not. I'm doing Michigan football for the Michigan Football Network. I want us to win. So I'll just say Michigan's going to win. I'm not going to do any predicting on it. But and I like this team's chances. I do. They're we know their talent, but you got to play well. And hopefully on the offensive side of the ball, anyway, they do that.
Did you watch some of Ohio State with the off week?
I did.
Man, they look good, don't they?
They look pretty good.
Yeah.
They're like you said, they're extremely fast on defense. They still have those skilled guys at the edges. And a quarterback that, you know, is a very elusive. That's a thing. He's an elusive guy. When he gets in space, you know, he can turn a third and nine into a first down and another possession, and it just breaks your heart as a defense. And again, it seems like they've had that guy. So JT Barrett, Braxton Miller, Troy Smith, go all the way back then. They've had that guy for it seems like ever. They're formidable. No question about it. They are a formidable football team. And Dobbins can run the ball, can he? I mean, they got talent.
Justin Fields, I know it's a little overhyped to a point, but man, he looks as good as any Ohio State quarterback I've seen.
Yeah, they seem to come up with those guys, don't they?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. I it was Indiana's defense. I know their defenses, but they're going to see they're faster than that. And once they get a look at him and again, defensive coordinators get an opportunity to kind of see what they do and try to take away some things that he's going to be, you know, challenged a little bit more. We'll see how that goes. After game three, he's everything that, you know, we expected him to be. He sure has lived up to the press clippings, but let's see what it is after game 8 and 9.
Well, let's talk about Wisconsin, Michigan first after the fact and see what happens Saturday at noon. Camp Randall in Madison. Jim Brandstatter will be calling the game on the IMG Michigan Football Network. Brandy also has his podcast. You can check out thebrandyshow.com. Who's on the interview list this week?
This week we do Johnny and Peter Giannopoulos, a great old restaurant gathering place at 12 Mile and Middle Belt in Detroit. They really were the home of the Tigers and Pistons and Red Wings, and a lot of great sports stories come out of this place. They, after 37 years, had to close up this year. And so I did an interview with Johnny and Peter, who are the proprietors of Giannopoulos on the Grill. And, boy, some of the stories about Frank Sinatra's in there, Bob Hope. I mean, huge. You walk into a place at 12 Mile and Middle Belt in Farmington Hills, and there on the wall are pictures of Liz Taylor, Telly Savalas, Muhammad Ali, the Detroit Pistons, Sparky Anderson, and Bob Hope. And you're thinking, I should be in New York. What am I doing at Farmington Hills with this place? It was a great, wonderful place that they built into this unbelievable gathering place. And so when they closed down, I got a hold of Johnny and Peters to say, can you guys do a talk with me and do this podcast? And they said they would. And I think it's really memorable how they got involved with, you know, all these great celebrities and all these great sports stars. Johnny tells a great story of him on the Pistons charter coming back from Boston after the terrible interception by Bird.
DJ, right?
And Johnny Giannopoulos actually came back from the airport in Chuck Daly's car. And he said it was the quietest ride he'd ever, you know, he's ever seen. It's a great story. But those are the kinds of people that John and Peter dealt with during their run at 37 years in the restaurant. So it's a fun conversation for Detroit area sports fans.
TheBrandyShow.com. Check out the laundry list of stars, newsmakers, and storytellers Jim Brandstatter sits down with. TheBrandyShow.com. So if Sinatra and Hope and Liz Taylor and Ali and Chuck Daly and the world champion Bad Boys are up there with their photos, is your photo on the wall or was it on the wall?
You know, it was on the wall. But the only reason I think it got on the wall because of my wife. She was a bigger star than I was.
Was Bo on the wall?
I think he might have been somewhere. They had a million pictures up there. And he might have been up there somewhere at some gathering. But, you know, all the big shots.
Gordie Howe? Was Gordie Howe on the wall?
Gordie was up there, sure. I think McCarty was up there. Phyllis Diller. I mean, a lot of men.
Yeah, Phyllis Diller.
People.
That's a looker.
A lot of entertainment people. Well, Telly Savalas was the first guy they ran into because they, you know, he's a Greek guy and he was doing Kojak. And he came to Detroit for an appearance and he wanted to go to a restaurant. So they took him out to Giannopoulos. They became dear, close friends. And so Telly was got a lot of his friends to come out to the place. It just blossomed and mushroomed from then on. So.
Yeah, sounds
a lot
like
of the sports guys. A lot of the sports
right.
guys came out there.
Yeah, it sounds like a great interview with the Giannopoulos. You can read or not read, but listen to it. TheBrandyShow.com podcast, wherever you download podcasts, and also TheBrandyShow.com online. Jimmy, have a safe trip.
Thanks very much, Huge. We'll talk to you
Wisconsin.
Soon.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Jim Brandstetter, voice of Michigan football, joining us on the Metro Health University of Michigan Health Guest Line.